The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
An app at SiriusXM Channel 80. What's up, nerds? Got Juju Smith-Schuster coming up in a few minutes. We get it to it with him about Villanueva and what he said, what Juju said about the AFC North, AB, all types of stuff. Roethlisberger, you're going to finally get the Battle of L.A. this year. We're going to get it in the first round. Think how disappointing it was for Lakers fans last year when the Clippers didn't hold up their end of the deal. Here's the question. Do the Lakers fans, do you want the Clippers in the first round? I'm saying you might be better off in the play-in tournament. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline.
It's over. It's final. And the Lakers handle the Suns from start to finish. Anthony Davis went absolutely nuclear in this one.
I think it's more likely that the Lakers lose in the play-in than that they win the championship.
AD put in work. Shocked the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix wasn't playing second to back-to-back or anything like that. AD dropped 42-12 against Phoenix. Now LA is back within one game of the sixth seed. AD is the first Lakers player to record at least 35 points, 10 boards, and 5 assists in consecutive games since... Since who? Who do you think? Think Kobe Bryant? Pau Gasol? Who? LeBron James, right? You'd be wrong. How about Shaquille O'Neal? No. Magic Johnson? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? No, no.
Oh, Smush I know. Parker. Smush Parker.
No, no one Smush. Wasn't Andrew Bynum either, nor Lamar Odom. Maybe James Worthy did it, right? No, no, none of those dudes did it. Elgin Baylor. I just had to go through that roll call of Lakers greats because it's so gangster. Elgin Baylor, February 25th and 7th in 1968. AD on the post in the post-game presser on how the team is getting by considering the injury bug. Listen in.
I mean, they're having great games, too. They're playing their ass off. You know, guys are making shots and making free throws, getting to the basket, making the right reads. So it's a collective effort. You know, our entire team is, you know, with the next man up approach every game. You know, Kuz is out. You know, West comes in, starts, and plays well, both ends of the floor. Bennett comes in and makes some big threes. You know, THT, first game back, played well. So everybody is contributing to the team's success.
See, I'm thinking... The Lakers are better off in the play-in tournament than they are in the sixth seed. Let me tell you why. If you are seeded seventh and you have to play the play-in, yeah, you got to take on the Warriors or the Blazers, right? And you could lose that game. But remember, if you're 8-9, you're one and done. If you're, 9-10, you're one and done. If you're 7-8 and you lose the first play-in, then you play the winner of 9-10. Now, you mean to tell me the Lakers would not only lose to the Blazers or the Warriors, but then also lose to the Grizzlies or the Spurs with LeBron James and AD both on the court? It won't happen. And you know what that does? Gives you a few more games, a little more time to get into some playoff rhythm. High-pressured, high-stakes games, right? And then you get the Suns or the Jazz. Now, you see what AD just did against the Suns? See what he did against Denver? You think, like, when you look at the matchup, AD, DeAndre Ayton, AD, Jokic, he can get up for those matchups and have an enormous impact. And I like the Lakers' chances going through a play-in tournament and then getting the Jazz or the Suns in the first round more than I like the Lakers' chances if they have to head cold straight into a first-round matchup against the Clippers. Now, here's the question, because first it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Is AD still the best big in the game? Did he prove it last night? Monster game. Well, that game was on late by the third quarter. I'm drifting in and out. I'm like, wait, you know. Do you ever do that? Like, you're so tired, your eyes are closed, you don't even realize it. Then you're, oh, I'm like, damn, he's up to 27, 33? Where's this going to end? 42. When last seen in action, last playoffs, AD was proving he is the best big in the game. Now, what's a big? Is he a four? Is he a five? Guys, Karl Malone was not a big. Charles Barkley was not a big. Those are power forwards. Tim Duncan was a big. Why? because he could also defend the rim. I think bigs, you got to be a rim defender too. At some level, a rim defender. And that's AD. Okay, so he could be a four or five, whatever. He's a big. And so, when last seen in the playoffs last year, he was proving he was the best in the game. Remember how great Jokic looked and how great Denver looked? AD smoked them. Both ends of the floor. He was the best big on the floor. And the Lakers won as a result. Now, AD's shooting from range was better than it had ever been. Is that sustainable? Is this who AD is? He gets up for those games and becomes a much better shooter? It's not impossible. There are guys who perform better under pressure. Is AD one of those guys? Is he? And here's more. Here's the next thing. When last seen, AD was proving he's the best big in the game. So there are two things that need to happen now. He needs to prove that consistently he can get back to that level, one. And then two, we need to know that that level still makes him the best. Because a couple things have happened since we last saw AD. By the way, the Freak just had the same season he's had the last 2 years where he won MVP 2 years in a row. He's still a big. And he's still right there with anyone. But Jokic raised his game to be the MVP of the league this season, the greatest passing big man ever, probably including Sabonis and everyone. Three-point shooting, down low, whatever you want from Jokic on offense is insane. He took his game to the next level. It was already a very high level. Is AD still better than that? Well, he matched up pretty good with him the other night. Jokic is not the defender AD is either. Well, then, even if he is that, if the Nets' big three is healthy, I don't think anyone could stand in their way. That includes the Lakers. But if they're not, see what Embiid is doing this year? Because as great as Jokic has been, game for game, Embiid's been the best player in the league. He's in the running best offensive and best defensive player in the league. That's all there is. There's just offense and defense. There's no other fence. There's no other fence. There's not a third fence. Offense and defense, if you're the best at both on a per-game basis, you're the best player. So Embiid's raised his game. Are we sure that AD's previous level is better than the new level Embiid is on? I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying we got to find out. Is he still the best big in the game? Can the Lakers win if he's not? That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Lakers fans, you nervous about the Clippers? I'm not going to front. I am. Here's another question we're going to get into. We got to talk to Juju Smith-Schuster coming out. We got a very packed show today. Villanueva taking shots at Juju. All that beef with AB. And now Juju's talking about AFC North's the best division in football. And lots of stuff to get into with Juju. But here's the next thing. Kawhi said he's playing through this left hand problem, right? And he didn't look great last night. Neither did Paul George on offense. That might just be the Knicks defense. But here's the question. Are the Lakers smarter for resting LeBron, making sure he's okay? Or are the Clippers smarter for letting Kawhi play through this injury? Would the Clippers be better off taking a more Laker-like tack with Kawhi right now? Load managing or pain managing, letting them heal up? Or is it better to have that continuity? Who has the advantage if they do meet in the first round? The battle for LA. I'm saying, do the Lakers fans want it with the Clippers right now? Or would you rather see them a little down the road in the playoffs when LeBron and AD and Schroeder get reacclimated and reintegrated? YG in Kentucky, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max?
Go ahead, YG.
I just want to say the Lakers in the play-in game, I think it's good for the NBA, but I don't think it's good for the Lakers players or Lakers fans.
Why?
I think it'll be real good for the NBA.
But why is it bad for them? Let me ask something. They could lose to the Warriors or the Blazers one game, Steph or Lillard get hot, what can you do, right? You think they would then also lose to either the Grizzlies or the Spurs? I don't. With LeBron, AD, and Schroeder and everyone back, I don't see it.
Nah, I heard you say that, but I just think it might take a little out of them. And then I think that LeBron, resting LeBron is probably the best thing to do this year.
Well, I hear you about the rest with it, with an ankle or a hammy or something like that. I hear you. But to me, what more than offsets that is getting the Lakers into a playoff atmosphere, or playing games, really a playoff, so that when they face the first round opponent, who remember, it's going to be either the Jazz, the Suns, or the Clippers. It's going to be brutal this year. When they see that opponent, they are already in playoff mode a couple games. They're going to need that to ramp up to take out one of these teams, or there ain't going to be a title defense this year. George in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Yes, I feel that I agree that it's actually in the Lakers' best interest to go through the play-in tournament. It's kind of like a blessing in disguise. And the reason why is that when you just get off an injury, and LeBron's going to be barely getting off an injury, you need a little time to get a rhythm together because you really don't know how your shot's going to be based on your feet and so forth. But the other more important thing is the Clippers have so much depth. Nicholas Batum, Patrick Beverley. DeMarcus
they got dudes
Cousins,
like Luke Kennard who's shooting 45%+ from three who can't even get into the playoff rotation apparently. Like Ty Lue shortened the rotation.
Exactly.
No Luke Kennard. Kennard could shoot the lights out.
Luke Kennard is, if he was in the East, he'd be an all-star. So
well, let's not get hysterical, but yeah.
Firepower, and the last thing we would need is to play a very dominant, very strong bench like the Clippers in the first round, because I could see the Clippers taking out the Lakers in the first round.
Yeah, the Clippers, by the way, right now, if that series started right now, if they were to play the Clippers in the first round right now, no playing, no nothing, I think the Clippers should be favored. Sorry. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and then they have like playoff Rondo. Don't forget the Lakers had a big three in the playoffs last year because Rondo's an all-star in the playoffs, all-star caliber player. And he ain't on the Lakers. He's on the Clippers now. Nick Batum once got close to a max deal, and then he stopped playing because he got his money and he wasn't in a competitive situation, stopped playing. And he started playing again, right? Serge Ibaka has been hurt for a long time, but now he's traveling with the team. He could come back. And he's not a major piece to integrate in the sense that he spaces the floor and protects the rim. It's not like reintegrating a piece like LeBron or AD or even Schroeder, who's more fundamentally involved in the offense. Paul in Studio City, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, as a lifelong Laker fan, my biggest concern right now isn't really whether we're in sixth or seventh or any of that. It's these last couple games. Are we going to see Anthony Davis become the alpha on this team where even if LeBron comes back, we go through AD completely? He has to lead the charge going into the playoffs.
They kind of did that last year, though, dude. They kind of did. Like LeBron knew he needed AD in those playoffs, and AD was the dominant guy in a lot of those games, you know? I think LeBron's planning on using AD that way anyway, because when AD is right, in the Western Conference, what kind of a matchup do you really have for him? You know, like, oh, Gobert is this defensive player of the year. As Ben Simmons says, no, he's not. Because, like, there are guys who can do some of what Gobert can do and also switch off onto, like, point guards. Gobert can't do that. You know, so he can't really handle AD both ends of the floor. And DeAndre Ayton's probably a couple years away from really being able to hang with a guy like AD. No, and the Clippers, they have some bodies to throw at him, but no one to really match up with AD. He's the matchup mismatch. Where the matchup mismatch mismatch up? Anyway, he's the guy that I think LeBron knows he has to use in these playoffs, much as he did last year. Then the question is, without Rondo, is AD capable in an improved Western Conference, in an improved conference, is AD capable of being that same guy again, which included shooting from range like he's never shot before over an extended period of time? He was draining threes at a clip that is not normal for him. Can he do that again? Because they're going to need AD to be at least that to get out of this Western Conference. You know, there's a chance they got to go through the Jazz, Clippers, and the Suns. Good luck. But the first round matchup I most fear as a Lakers fan is the matchup with the Clippers. And for everyone who's going to tell me, I called Mason in Ireland show on Friday. I was in a lift, actually, in L.A. I had to be in L.A. for something, listening to Mason in Ireland. I called right in. And John Ireland said, but Max, you know the Clippers. In the end, they're always going to disappoint. Well, no, actually, I know the Clippers. In the end, they don't make it to the conference finals. But remember, they're going to get the Lakers in the first round. Getting to the second round of the playoffs, that's what they do. I'm nervous as a Lakers fan. Guys, this is going to be, if LeBron can lead the Lakers, if they could somehow win the championship this year, oh my God, where they may have to play a play-in and then play the team with the second-best record, who had the best record in the league for most of the year in the Jazz. Or if they avoid the play-in, they have to play the Clippers in the first round and got to get through. They're swimming with sharks in the West. And then you get to the finals if the big three are healthy on the Nets. Good luck with that. Man, if LeBron figures it out this time. Ooh, if LeBron figures it out this time. Let's start with this. His case against Michael Jordan will have just gotten a lot better. And I think he's on the Mount Rushmore of Lakers. I think he's on the Lakers Mount Rushmore already. 3 seasons into his Lakers career. What's up, Raj?
Oh, we have some big news over the weekend, Max. And now we have breaking news on it. Okay. I don't know if you saw the Triple Crown winner, Medina Spirit, was busted for failing a drug test.
That's right.
Well, the horse himself has released a statement. If you wanted
Let's
to hear
it. I do.
Yeah, well, Medina Spirit, the horse, of course, Bob Baffert's horse, said he was trying a new supplement, a new hay supplement, and he did not know there was a banned substance in it. He's sorry that he let down all of his fans, but he promised he'll come back bigger and faster and better than ever.
Yeah, you know, this is one time, I think I believe the athlete, like he didn't know what he was putting in his body.
Yeah, it was new hay. It was new hay supplement. He didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know what he was putting in his body, and so, yeah. Imagine the owners of the horse trying to pass it off on the horse. That'd be great. We can't be responsible for what he does. And when he's on his off time. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Situation in the NBA, I believe that's never, ever happened in the
What hasn't
NBA
happened,
history.
Richard? What?
Okay. Utah is going to finish with the best record, correct?
Are they at this point?
How many games are the best record. There's only 3 games left. So it looks like they're going to have the best record in the NBA.
The Western standard.
Let's go on that premise. Yeah. I believe that this will be the first time in the history of the NBA that not one player from the team with the best record in the NBA finishes in the top 10 MVP voting category.
It could be. It's also the reason I don't believe in the Jazz. You're right. It could be. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, when healthy in the playoffs last year, was as good as anyone you ever want to see. Donovan Mitchell was like an all-time great MVP in the playoffs last year. But yeah, ultimately, because he doesn't have a crime partner on his level, I don't believe in the Jazz in the playoffs. That is fair to say. Conley and a lot of guys can play on that team. And every 10 years or so, a Dallas Mavericks, a Detroit Pistons, has one star player or a bunch of equally talented players, and without an MVP or maybe without two MVPs in the case of Dirk, they can win the championship against teams with more stars. But it's rare. And when it comes down to it, I guess that's the reason, what Richard just identified, is the reason I like some other teams better, including maybe the Suns. You know, Chris Paul, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, it's an awesome backcourt, but Chris Paul and Devin Booker, one of the reasons I think Chris Paul's MVP candidacy isn't stronger, in my view, is they were 8-0 in the bubble before Chris Paul ever got there. Given the roster, I expected big things from the Suns this year. And I'm not sure that Chris Paul's better than Devin Booker or more valuable this year. He's right there. Chris Paul's great. He's having a great year. He's extremely valuable, but so is Devin Booker. Chris Paul's got a crime partner in the backcourt, as good as he is. Respect to Mike Conley, who to me has always been sort of like a poor man's Chris Paul, and maybe the best player to ever never make an all-star team. But Mike Conley's not Chris Paul. Devin Booker is Donovan Mitchell. Mike Conley's not quite Chris Paul. This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Guess who's coming right up? Oh, he's been making news. Because people are talking about him. Villanueva, the offensive lineman on the Steelers. Now Rave is talking about Juju Smith-Schuster on TikTok. There was issues in the past with AB. What does Juju think about Ben Roethlisberger? He said the AFC North is the best division in football. Lots of stuff to get into with Juju Smith-Schuster here on the Max Kellerman Show. That's coming up in a matter of moments. You have to sit through all the annoying commercials. Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it sometimes. You got to bite the bullet. I'm bad that way nowadays. Because everything you can skip through, like if I have a 15-second ad on YouTube, oh, I'm mad. But you're going to have to sit through it. Do you hear my computer career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers? Well, you don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off, and that's it. Just like you, right? And now they're IT pros. You could do it, too. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It ain't rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Juju Smith-Schuster up next. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
KJC.
After they won a championship, everybody started talking about maybe LeBron James should load manage and really kind of ease into this next. He didn't do that. He refused to do that.
Want more from the NBA? Don't miss Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I really do want to hear Medina Spirit explain himself.
I didn't know it was a steroid, Max, I promise.
A likely story. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. God, you know how many radio hosts must be making Mr. Ed jokes today? I guess I'll just be another one. We got to get Mr. Ed to interview him. AFC North, the NFL's best. Anyone believe that? Because apparently Juju Smith-Schuster does. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, Alejandro Villanueva is an offensive tackle in the NFL, now on the Ravens. Just signed a new deal with the Ravens. Went to the rival Baltimore Ravens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I got a lot of respect for Villanueva and the road he took because he wasn't this high draft pick who was given, you know, had a chance to lose a job, basically compete for a job. He was a dude who was on the, tried to be a tight end. He was on defense. He's on offense. And he finally stuck and made it to some Pro Bowls as an offensive tackle, as a left tackle. That shows you something about someone's character. I'm not questioning that. However, he went at Juju Smith-Schuster. He said one of the issues with the Steelers, and I know he's a Baltimore Raven now, but one of the issues with the Steelers is they didn't have a balanced attack. They didn't, you know, offense. They didn't run the ball at all. But Villanueva, part of the problem is y'all didn't block for the run. I mean, listen, he's really primarily known for pass protection, right? He's okay at block. You know, left tackle is there really to protect the quarterback's blind side. And he does a good job of that. Very good job. But the fact of the matter is, Roethlisberger, you know, you're 20% of your offensive line, and sometimes less than that when you count in the tight end and whatever, you need a running back to chip, whatever. But you're a percentage of the offensive line. Not everyone on the line was Villanueva. Pouncey's since retired, and they did not do a good job giving Roethlisberger time to throw the ball, giving receivers time to get down the field, and especially giving the running backs any holes at all. So what do you think? Mike Tomlin doesn't want to call run plays? You think Mike Tomlin is against running the football when he got the job as a Steelers head coach? He's at the press conference. He said, run the ball, stop the run. Steelers football. I fell in love right there. He had me at hello. He had me at run the ball, stop the run, Steelers football. Because before I was a Giants fan, because the Giants stunk as a little kid. If your local team stunk, you had two out-of-market teams to choose from. The Cowboys, if you didn't have a soul. And the Steelers, if you were a real person, a good human being. Nevertheless, I became a Steelers fan. So I hear the Steelers, I mean, I'm a Giants fan since then, but I hear a Steelers head coach, new head coach, and they only get one every like 20 years. Run the ball, stop the run, Steelers football. I'm like, ooh, I'm in. Now, the league has changed since Tomlin's got the job, but it's not like Tomlin has something against running the ball. It's that he didn't have a line that could block for the run, create holes. So Villanueva is complaining that the line isn't better because it's not kind of more fun for them. They're not as engaged because everyone knows they're throwing the ball. Well, hold up, Alejandro, but like time out. Then he turned around and said about Juju Smith-Schuster, I know it's not as fun for the wideouts, you know, who are making TikToks if they don't throw the ball enough. Oh, wait a minute. So it's Juju Smith-Schuster's fault for wanting the ball thrown to him a lot. But even the reason the offense is like that in the first place, where it's imbalanced, is because y'all can't block for the run. But the reason you're giving for not being able to do that better is because it's no fun for you guys. So how could you turn around and make fun of Juju? You see what I'm saying? Raj, is that clear? Is it clear what I'm saying?
Clear, man. It's clear, and I'm a little surprised. But, yeah, it's clear.
Good. I have to make sure. Oh, Juju Smith-Schuster now joins us on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Juju.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Great to have you on. What do you think about this shade from your former left tackle, Villanueva?
I kind of get where he's coming from, but I think he was more so saying that, he prefers to be at a balanced offense and to be at a passing offense. And, you know, I totally get that, you know, as, you know, for his position.
Juju, don't dodge. I'm trying to stir up some controversy here. Don't try to agree with him. He made reference to he referred to your TikTok making, right? Isn't that kind of taking a shot at you? Like, to me, here was the issue. You didn't run the ball more because the line wasn't good enough at blocking for the run. That's why y'all didn't run the ball more. And then when he turns around and says it's not as fun for a guy like you and takes shots at you making TikToks, but then turns around and says, yeah, we didn't block for the run better because it was no fun for us. He's kind of using as an excuse for the line's poor play the very thing he's accusing you of. Do you see what I'm saying? Now say something. Go back at Villanueva in some way that makes headlines. Go ahead. No.
He was in my TikTok.
he was in your TikToks. He was in them. What'd he do?
He was dancing. He was in my TikToks. He was in Chase TikToks. But to be honest, I mean, like I said, I think for his sense, like I say, he prefers a more run game, a balanced offense than a passing offense. And I mean, at the end of the day, like, it was tough for us to run the ball. But more so, I think, you know, throwing the ball with the weapons we had.
Okay, Juju, there's a lot. First of all, Raj, now I need you to find the TikTok that Villanueva is dancing in. We got to play that for ESPN+. Plus. Juju Smith-Schuster on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, says Villanueva was dancing in his TikToks. Oh, the nerve of Villanueva to turn around and then make fun of you for it. All right, look, Juju, you said the Browns is the Browns. Right, famously, did that motivate the Browns?
I think it did. I think it motivated the Browns. I think my TikTok, the Corvette, motivated the Browns. And it got to the point, you know, where they had a billboard saying the Browns is the Browns in Cleveland, an actual billboard. So then people were making shirts. You know, I should have LLC it. I don't know why I did it, but then I should have. Could have easily made some cash there, but. I think they came out and they did their job. They played hard. They beat us, and it is what it is.
Did Mike Tomlin, did Coach Tomlin, or anyone else approach you? Did anyone look at you sideways like, dude, you gave them billboard, you know, like bulletin board material, and then they turned around and beat us in the playoffs?
Actually, they did not. They didn't say anything about it. I think the media blew it up to be something bigger than what it is. And, yeah, I mean, they didn't have a problem with it.
No one did? The coach didn't say anything to you?
Nope.
I couldn't hear. Did you just say no because Raj thought it was appropriate to talk right in my ear? No, Brendan.
Oh, No, nobody said no. They said no. There's no problem with it.
Would you do it again? Or do you feel like maybe they didn't need that extra little adrenaline? Would you do it again? Would you make a comment like that again in those circumstances, or do you regret it?
I don't regret it at all.
Okay, Juju Smith-Schuster here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You also said recently, Juju, oh, you're wrapped up in so many kind of fake controversies that I would love to exploit and make into actual controversies, but you're deftly sidestepping everything, that the AFC North is the NFL's best division. That's outrageous! How could you put, no, how, why do you figure the AFC North? I understand what you mean about Joe Burrow, and he looks like he could be a good quarterback, but the Bengals ain't there yet. How is the AFC North the best division in football?
Man, honestly, bro, if you think about it, like all our games, tough games, you know, us, Cleveland, Baltimore, and even the Bengals, you know, they would even give our own division, you know, run for their money, you know. And I think if you were to have a AFC North versus South or East or West, I think you know, if you had an all-star team like that, we'll definitely, you know, win. No brainer.
All right. Well, I mean, the NFC West is a pretty good division. You know what I'm saying? Like every team from the NFC West somehow winds up in the Super Bowl.
That's what everybody's been saying. Everybody's been saying the NFC West, you know, that'll be the matchup of the year, AFC North versus NFC West.
Hmm. Juju Smith-Schuster, before I let you go, what's going on with Charmin?
So I partnered up with Charmin. Basically, you know, they created this Charmin BRB bot where it can basically take over. You know, it's an AI Juju that takes over the screen while you use the bathroom. And you don't have to be rude and interrupt meetings, calls, business streams. You pretty much are there live, and they can respond to anything that anyone's saying. And it's honestly probably the best thing that's going to go in for all of us in the future. And it pretty much makes your life a lot much easier. And you can go to the bathroom using number one, number two without no problems.
I see. Interesting. Juju, I tricked you. I tricked you because there's one more question. Ready for this? Antonio Brown, who posted stuff of you, which I thought made you look good as a collegiate athlete, texting him, and he thought it made you look bad and all that. But at one point, he looked like the bad guy, and it's like, damn, but Juju Smith-Schuster looks like the good guy. But it's funny the way things work. A lot of it is, like, in the end, who wins? And AB just won a Super Bowl, and he's going back on that team. And in my view, though you're a very good receiver, you have yet to prove that you are a number one in his absence, which was the big question. Do you have any comment about any of that, especially about you and AB right now?
No, I mean, for him, I mean, congrats to him. Like, you know, it was crazy to see that, you know, two of our great players on the Steelers, you know, were, you know, in the Super Bowl, you know, whether it's Le'Veon Bell, whether it's AB, and, you know, he went out there to do his thing. And that's one thing about AB, like, at the end of the day, like, no matter what he says, you know, or says on off the field, like, he's in a ball on the field. And that's something he's always done, you know, since I've been around him. And even to this day, he's just a baller. So congrats to him on that. As far as being a number one, I mean, it just shows that, you know, we have so many weapons on our team that, you know, anybody can get the ball any time of the day. And, you know, I'd rather go 11-0 again with the same stats I had than to be, you know, the number one guy and we don't, you know, we don't make the playoffs, you know, and I'm more so about, you know, winning. As far as like everyone being number one, yeah, most definitely. You'll see me play outside more this year. You'll see me go down the field more, and it's just gonna prove. So like I said, I got a 1-year deal, you know, to prove myself and decide to stay in Pittsburgh.
Well, Juju, you've deftly sidestepped every possible controversy. You happen to be very charming and likable, and I couldn't get you on anything. You've escaped from this interview not only unscathed, but probably you made a few extra fans.
I'm pretty good.
You're pretty good. You're pretty good, Juju Smith-Schuster. Thank you very much for joining me today, Juju. Best of luck on the upcoming season.
No problem. Thank you.
Juju Smith-Schuster, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Well, Raj, I tried. There was no news to be made with this guy. He's very professional at such a young age. Every time you think you got him, he just gets more likable. Canelo
side
got the team.
What's
that? What's that, Raj?
I said side-stepping Schuster. That's what they call him. Side-stepping Schuster.
Canelo got the TKO, Raj. But was he in trouble? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. Can stream it, beam it, download it. I don't know what the hell. You just do whatever it takes to get me credit for it is the main thing. I don't care if you listen or not. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Juju Smith-Schuster joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Canelo Alvarez reportedly busted Billy Joe Saunders' eye socket with an uppercut. Billy Joe's eye was looking pretty bad afterward. So what's next for Canelo? Listen to what Teddy Atlas, my former nemesis on Friday Night Fights way back in the day on ESPN2 starting in 98. Teddy was my original Stephen A. Smith. Going at it every week. Listen to Teddy Atlas, ESPN boxing analyst, game night on ESPN Radio, on what Canelo proved this Saturday.
Tony's a smart navigator. He's a smart manager, just like Mayweather. Yeah, he's a good fighter. He's a very good fighter. You know, he's a good body puncher. He's a calm guy. He's a deliberate guy. He's a guy who stays in control of himself at all times. He's a patient guy when he has to be patient. He's improved as the years went on. So I give him all that. But he's also a guy who knows how to pick the right opponents.
Teddy's right about that. We have a tendency to want things to be black and white, up, down, left, right, you know, like binary. You for him or against him. That's the basic gist of everything, right? And what Teddy's saying is a little more nuanced. And let me explain, because I think along the same lines. Canelo's a great fighter. Canelo's absolutely improved throughout his career, especially since he fought Mayweather. Floyd likes to say he beat a prime Canelo. He didn't. He beat a pre-prime Canelo. Still a great win, but a pre-prime Canelo. Canelo's natural inclination is as a counterpuncher. He likes to stand there because he doesn't have the quickest feet, but he has quick hands and good defensive instincts. He likes to stand solid power. He likes to stand there, let his opponent come to him, and then counter, especially off the ropes. That's his natural inclination. It took him some years to figure out how to counter, how to counteract really defensive fighters. How to cut off the ring, stay aggressive, and be very effective while being aggressive. But he's done that now. Canelo's a complete fighter. And he's beating world-class opponents. And at super middleweight, he's going to unify the title, so he's going after everyone with a belt. And that's fine. But what I do notice, I agree with Teddy about this, is Canelo is frequently fighting. If you made a list of the five guys you want to see Canelo fight, Canelo's fighting the fifth guy on that list constantly, right? Like, let me tell you who I'd like to see Canelo fight. I'd like to see Canelo fight Beterbiev. Well, he's a light heavyweight. I mean, Canelo went up to fight Kovalev at light heavy. I'd like to see him fight Dmitry Bivol. He's a light heavy. Bivol will fight Canelo at super middle. Don't tell me Bivol wouldn't fight him at 68. By the way, Canelo might beat either one of those guys, but those are like 50-50 fights. I'd like to see Canelo fight Charlo. I'd like to see him fight Andrade. I'd like to, like, there are guys who come before a Triple G rubber match. There are guys who come before the guys he's fighting. He's fighting and beating good opponents. I want to see him fight and beat the best opponents. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.